I'm about to read to you now.
So, do I go?
Oh, I didn't know that part.
This is worth repeating.
Okay.
This is worth repeating.
Live storytelling from Texas Public Radio.
It was the smell of weed that first brought us together. I was sitting in my car, shortening a joint by lighting one end on fire while dragging on the other. I was parked in West Austin on 35th Street, which dead ends at the gates of Laguna Gloria Art Museum. A good place to be doing what I was doing. He was walking by, heading for those gates, when four fingers of smoke beckoned him to be tapping on my window. It was the early 80s, and a certain groover's understanding still held. Nothing had been remastered yet, and I was still someone who rented the occasional VCR from a 7-Eleven, usually in the middle of the night. So the signals were still authentic, analog, happening now. I had once felt the magic driving down Congress Avenue at 3 a.m. Some guys in the car next to me were passing a number and gave me a look that suggested I roll down my window. Did. We drove all the way from the Capitol to the river, passing it back and forth between cars, easing through the flashing lights without really stopping, just driving close and grinning. So he knew, and I knew, that he would climb in the passenger seat and partake. But it did take me by surprise when he removed his leg before shutting the door. I liked it that he felt that comfortable. As we passed the joint back and forth across the front seat, he told me about sliding into home. He'd been an American 19-year-old in Vietnam, and like all the other young inductees, he'd been taught to hit the dirt whenever he heard the sound of incoming mortar shells. On one particular day, a day he was on patrol, a day when he heard that sound, a different day than all the other days that he'd heard it, he went down just as he'd been trained to do. He slid. Then he was 12 years old, and he was seeing himself sliding in, right foot first, crossing the plate, beating the incoming throw by a split second, just as he'd been trained to do. And as he went down, he could still hear the ball hitting the catcher's mitt too late. And the shell he was dodging hit close, but not close enough to do him any harm. I can picture it perfectly, just as he described it. The heel of his right foot striking the edge of the plate first, his left leg tucked under his butt, his left hand trailing in the dirt, his right hand waving free in the air to signal the completion of the home run. The cloud of dust, the score, the bringing one in for the home team. And he was seeing it too, just like that in his mind, the day he heard that sound and slid. He was seeing it with his 12-year-old eyes, but he didn't see the landmine that happened to be there, right there under home plate, right where he slid into home. His name was Jackson Tomorrow, an artist. I was thinking about him yesterday as I was making preparations to read this very short story, the one I'm about to read to you now. It's too long. In those days, we were two artists sitting on a porch. We would pass the time watching whatever happened to occur in our view. We rarely interrupted those times with words, unless something random required it. But one afternoon, I said to him, "Jackson, the next time I do a show, I'm going to call it, if you don't like dogs and children, go fuck yourself. He thought about it. After a good while, he said, no, it's too long. Just call it go fuck yourself.